Find a comfortable seat. See what the breath is doing in your body right now. And imagine that a pink bubble of light is embracing you and holding you. You have an aura of love, light, peace, and joy. You only let love in, and you only share love. Divine Mother, Heavenly Father, Friend and Beloved God, Great Masters, Jesus Christ, Yosha, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Paramhansa Yogananda, Saints and Sages of all true faith, Ramana Maharshi, Anandamoyi Ma, Kuan Yin, Saint Germain, joyfully we bow to you all. Thank you for this opportunity today to create a podcast episode that serves our listeners, that heals and uplifts. That's a beautiful, fun conversation. May this work that we do together, and may all our listeners be so blessed by the fragrance of violets and roses. May they know who they are. May they step forward in their truth fearlessly and with so much fun and courage and lightness and joy. May we together create a movement of softpreneurs, of people waking up, of people going after their passion and using their divine wisdom and gifts and talents to uplift the collective. May we all be blessed by this episode. And thank you, thank you, thank you for all of us coming together here now. Thank you for blessing this episode in thy peace and thy joy. And so it is. Om peace. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. Today, we are peeling back the curtain a little bit to show you our process. And we start everything pretty much at All Connected Collective with this prayer, which is adapted from a prayer that Yogananda gave and is shared in many of his centers and self-realization fellowship that he founded.
Ah, thank you, Elisa. And hey there, all you softpreneurs. There is serious magic happening right now because you're here and you are getting a bird's eye view, back end view, behind the scenes view of a little bit of the ways that we create together through spirit. And we are Dawn Petrin and Elisa Jukim. And yeah, we're here to help the wellness industry's most disruptive thought leaders express your essence louder and prouder to create more possibility, more love, and yeah, even more profitability. So here's another vulnerable episode. Hey, Elisa, thank you so, so much for praying us in as you do like most weeks and often with most projects. Do you want to say any more about that prayer before we get going?
Yes, I have multitudes to say about it. And I was first introduced to this version of a prayer or a healing prayer when I was doing karma yoga at Ananda Center, which is based on the teachings of Yogananda, and it was founded by Swami Kriyananda in Northern California. And something that really struck me during that month that I was there was that pretty much every activity started with a version of this prayer, which was an invocation to that line of gurus, which is Yogananda's lineage. And you'll notice it starts with Jesus Christ, and it includes Babaji and a lot of yogic saints that if you are into yoga and meditation, you might be familiar with. And I love to offer it as a blessing when we start really anything, because I feel like probably many of us, a spiritual being having a human experience. And so with work, I find so much grace happens when we remember consciously and like call in God and spiritualize what we're doing. It's created so much beauty. And I feel like it's a way that we've also really been able to bring in this element that feels greater than like our little selves, no matter what we're doing. And yeah, it's just really transformed the way that I think about work. And the last thing I'll say about this prayer is that there's a version of it, the Divine Mother Healing Prayer, that if you're ever in need of healing, or if you have family members in need of healing, Ananda Center has a healing prayer ministry, and you can actually put in a prayer request and yogis will send you a healing prayer for a whole month after you make the request. And we've done that when people have had major, you know, health issues and things going on, and we've seen massive miracles. Full disclosure, we had hundreds of people praying for our son when he was first born from across the country. And so the power of prayer is so real. And yeah, just bringing us there.
I love it. Thank you. This is, I mean, I love your son. So I'm especially glad that we had everyone praying. And I was like, wasn't I part of one of those prayer chains? And I remembered that's the one that I was part of. I'm not like part of the Yogananda lineage in an initiated way, but I feel like anyone who reads autobiography of a yogi and it touches them, there's like an initiation that happens there that's like so crazily beautiful and intense. And I'm actually, it's on Spotify right now. If you have Spotify Premium, it's on there as an audiobook. And I'm like listening to it again. And the first time I listened to it was before my first yoga teacher training, which is like 14 years ago now. And I remember being like, whoa, like just like prana, like, yeah, I felt like, oh, I'm connected to God again, you know? Not that I don't believe there's ever a time that we're not connected. And what we wanted to talk about today was a little bit about like how we stay connected to God, capital G, little g, goddess, however you want to put it. What I love about that poem is the prayer, but is like saints and sages of all true faiths. And I love that about Yogananda too and his teachers, right? They were like also studying the Bible and talking about Jesus as like a like evolved saint, basically. But now I feel like I'm rambling. What we try to do is be in service at work to ourselves and to spirit with our clients, with ourselves. And it's like, man, if you're listening to this, you're probably an entrepreneur. You probably have a relationship with spirit, and life can be hard, man. You know, it's like there are a lot of like struggles in the entrepreneurial life. I know there are struggles in all of it, but I've never had a real job. I've always been an entrepreneur, except for when I was waitressing. And it's been such a blessing to work with Elisa so closely because we both feel it, you know, we both really are like, let's bring it back to God. Let's bring it back to spirit. Like, what can we do and how can we do it when we're like, oh no, like we forgot to market ourselves. Maybe we need another client, or if we're struggling with things with a client, or I don't know, we talk about it, you know, it's like with entrepreneurs every like third week, you're like, should I burn it all down? It's so nice to have someone to lean on and to come back to like why we do it, you know? And also the fact is that like we both feel like us as marketers is actually like a spirit driven path that we've taken, that we like couldn't be doing anything else, you know, that this is where spirit has placed us. So we want to chat about how to bring God back into work. And one of the ways we do that is by starting projects with either that prayer, or if it's like, we've also worked with people who are like more strongly Christian and that prayer doesn't work for them. So then we might just pray, you know, just like a gentle prayer. And I guess, do we work with anyone who doesn't have a spiritual practice? I feel like I don't think we have. Do you think we have?
I don't think so. And I think that's part of the beauty of when you are creating with spirit or God in mind, that the way we've co-created working with All Connected, it's like we often have these sort of you can't make it up moments of beauty or synchronicity or feeling like source or whatever your word for it is speaking directly back to us. And so, yeah, most people in our realm do seem to have a spiritual path and practice, I would say. And also it's probably largely because we are in the personal development and wellness space that there's such an interest in growth and transformation personally. And I think that's been a really cool thing that we've kind of embarked on together, that there's this like meta thing that happens where we're the copywriters or the coaches or the consultants for people who are experts in the field of personal growth. And we embody them when we write for them. And then we're also holding space for people's personal growth and transformation through the vehicle of business. So that was a swirly way of answering your question. And I have a feeling this spirit first episode is going to be a little bit swirly, but yes.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. We seem to magnetize in without trying people who have a strong spiritual life, even if we didn't know ahead of time. We worked with someone who, like, we had no idea. And then we were like, so sometimes we open these containers with prayer. Would that be cool with you? And they're like, oh my God, this is why I'm here. I didn't know it was why I'm here, but it's why I'm here. So one thing I want to talk about with spirit, and we're going to try and keep this a shorter episode because, like, thank you so much. We have a really great completion rate, but I know our episodes are long. So we're watching the analytics with God in mind. But anyway, one thing I want to talk about is, like, the desire to build wealth and how it has been vilified sort of through many means. And that as I was actually listening to a live, was it a live stream? No, it was a masterclass yesterday. And it was about this idea that, like, so many, or part of it was about the idea that so many people who think, like, who want to be spiritual, they decide to be disdainful of money because money has been, like, painted as, like, the root of all evil or what have you. And then they, like, kind of live shitty lives and they can't actually, like, serve in the big ways that they want to serve. So I want to talk a little bit of wealth and desire in relation to spirit. You got anything for me, Elisa, on that?
Oh, yeah. This has been a big meditation for me of the last year. And I've been really invited to investigate a lot of, like, money blocks and like lack consciousness stuff. And a big aha that I feel like I've had in the last year is, like, we can be in poverty consciousness no matter our income level or level of wealth, and we can be abundant or know the infinite wealth of spirit that's always here for us at any level of wealth. And I had a revelation for myself, which was, like, an addiction to feeling not enough or lack or poverty consciousness is actually not serving anybody in my life or my realm. And I share that if there's anyone here, because I think I had a few years of sort of wrestling with, like, well, I'm a yogi. What's my relationship to money? Is money bad? Is money good? And in some ways, it's funny that I think we've been gifted different teachers who dive into taboo and existential kink and looking at all these things. But Wayne Dyer said it, and Amanda Francis, who's been a real gem for me in, like, kind of unpacking money work and energetics. It's like, can you so show up and serve and maybe, like, make more of a difference with resources? And then looking at saints like Yogananda, who founded SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship, where there's, like, Lake Shrine in California and in Los Angeles. And it's so beautiful. It's this beautiful shrine on a lake. And it took resources and it took wealth to create that. Yogananda didn't personally keep money or wealth for himself. And I think it had there. And there was so much, like, so many resources activated around him for the vision. And so I've really coming to into peace, I suppose, with money in the last year, and also, like, really thinking, and I can speak to Rye Schwartz, who we're going to have on the podcast, Hendrix Black, who wrote this book, Shadow Money as the Money Shaman. He has a few monikers and names, so I'm hoping I'm using the right one. But this idea that, like, money is so relational. There's such a relational element. And we just spoke, I'm not sure the order of our podcast, but we just spoke about with Dawn's herbal teachers about, like, relationship and stewardship and can we be in right relationship? And I'm feeling those words coming up so much around me in a lot of different ways. And so I've been really playing this game of sending love into the money relationship. And even if the currency has been contorted and there's been some, like, weird, maybe some weird dark magic put on the global currencies or resources, like, if I can offer love into the space when I'm receiving or investing, I have felt the relational field change so much. And then I feel more agency in the world. So I'm talking a lot about my own experience right now, and I share it with the hope that it could be helpful for someone who's like really wrestling in the stickiness of, I'm not supposed to make money because I am a yogi and I am spiritual. And yet I have desire, and I have a lot to say on desire too. So we can unpack that too, but I'll hand it over to you.
Sure. Yeah. I think on the whole, like be a yogi and the money thing, my first like entrepreneurial venture was owning a yoga studio. And so many people were like, yoga should be cheaper. And I was like, cool, who's going to pay the lease and how am I supposed to eat? And actually what I did is I like, this is going to sound ridiculous now, like keep in mind, I took over the yoga studio 9 years ago, last month, and it was already really low, but I made my monthly passes $70. So they had been like 90 or something, but I made them $70. So like if you wanted to come to yoga and really show up for yourself, it was 70 bucks and you were like, it wasn't like committed. You just had to, you know, let me know when you wanted to end it. But I bumped up the drop-in classes, you know, because like, first of all, if you have the money to support your local yoga studio and get a membership, even though you won't use it all of the time, that can be really helpful for that space to continue, right? And then we live in a world where, you know, the ancient yogis or even yogis 100 years ago, a lot of them were total renunciates and also didn't like take any money, but their community supported them, right? So if you are going to be a spiritual practitioner and like renounce all money, that's only going to work in a world where your community values that and supports you, you know? So that like, I have that to say about it. And then, I don't think money's bad or good. It's what we do with it. And if we have God in our hearts and we really, you know, like what we receive with love, we use to steward the earth and each other, as I keep on saying, then we actually, like we can bring value and move things forward and take people out of like that first chakra place where they're just trying to get by. Like even the agency, like, and actually since the yoga studio, I remember in the first couple of months of the yoga studio when there was like not enough money coming in and so much money coming out, I just decided to like embody Lakshmi and just like, I just told myself, like, I love paying people. I love paying them well. I love when money comes through me and then my friends who are the teachers or managers of this place can like buy organic food and pay their rent and feed their families. And, you know, and then also like, yes, and we can get into desire after this, like also have like nice freaking shoes sometimes, you know, and not feel like, oh no, if I go out for dinner with my friends that I'm really going to be screwed and like have anxiety around it. So that's like a practice that has come through me is like, I literally would like chant to Lakshmi. I would like imagine her and I would like, is it like this? And I would just like imagine the coins like coming through as like my heart was opening and sending that love out. And yeah, I do think Amanda Francis, she talks about it as releasing money and I wasn't in that then, but I love that idea, right? Of like releasing it instead of hoarding it. And I think when we can be generous and abundant with our hearts and then with what we have, and you have to take care of yourself. So I'm not saying like give it all away. I did that too. And I had to find the balance. I still do that and I have to find the balance. But when you can be generous with your heart and with what you have, I find that the universe continues to provide. You know, a new client will come in, or I used to have like $500 year passes. Actually, no, I'm lying. It was a 2 year pass for $1,000. So that's insane, right? But like one of those would pay like, oh God, like, you know, an eighth of my rent. And like, so I only really needed 8 of those a month. Of course, this is not good math. Chris, our coach, would be like, Dawn, that was bad or whatever. But I do think that when you can, I don't think you should be, and Lakshmi doesn't like it when you aren't good with your finances. She doesn't like it when your house is messy. She doesn't like it when you're not noticing what's happening. But if you can be like loving and generous and also take care of the home, or like the, not just the home, but like the home finances, I haven't experienced a time yet where universe didn't provide me with what I needed.
I love that this conversation has like dug into money, and I feel like there's so much, because that's at the heart of a business, right? It has to do with freedom, and it has to do with like these choices and how do we, it's an exchange in a currency. So it transfers for like, how do we tend things? And there can be so much beauty too in that releasing, whether it's like, yeah, like you said, like being able to share in a way that really like shifts somebody else's livelihood or is so meaningful for them. And then I think that it's like that. It just reminds us all of the oneness, right? Like that sometimes we're in the spot where we're like, where we're able to help support, and sometimes we're receiving support, and that we're kind of, there's a beautiful connective tissue there. And I wanted to share what you just said reminded me of, we'll link it in the show notes, this beautiful affirmation from Yogananda called the Material Success Affirmation. And it's all about recognizing that we are children of the divine. And as children of the divine, like everything literally belongs to us. And I did that affirmation, I'll just share, like every day for a while when I was living in Los Angeles and had just taken discipleship and in graduate school, like about a year before, less than a year before copywriting opened up and my pathway to like meeting Dawn and different kinds of material success that I really never even imagined like would transpire happened. And I know, Dawn, you were in a period of like prayer with Lakshmi or practice with Lakshmi too before copywriting kind of like sparked into your life. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
I mean, copy came to me because I had to learn how to write it for the yoga studio. And I've spoken about this on here before, but I had like a really convoluted route to getting my undergrad. I like magically took 18 years to do a four-year degree. And I had been taking a break from finishing up my creative writing major because of like a personal traumatic event that had occurred when the yoga studio came into my life. And it was like, oh, you better learn how to write copy. I mobilized the email list to get people to the yoga studio. And at the same time, I learned you could actually like make money writing. And I was like, what? And yeah, my partner at the time got a online job and I had never actually heard of that before. I was like 20. Oh my God. So this probably would have been like 2018. So there's a lot less of that. And he got a job with one of the major conversion optimization firms back in the day. And they had like the spouse of their employees got access to all their courses. So it's sort of like God gave me a growth marketing mini degree from CXL is the company it's called. And that's where I discovered copywriting. And it was like, I used it for this studio. And actually, like through his job, I was like, what? You can live and work remote? And then I was like, wait, what? And you can do it as a writer? And so, yeah, that's how copywriting came to me. And I'm so grateful for sure. And first of all, I'm grateful because like I was able to, you know, take a bankrupt yoga studio and turn it into a viable business that I then sold. But also because it opened my eyes to all of so many more possibilities in the world. And because I was in creative writing, I don't know, this is like something about me, I was able to gather some of the best writers in Kelowna, BC at the time and help them make money too. And so like, again, it was like that similar sort of like Lakshmi, like embodying Lakshmi. And I understand I'm a white girl and there's probably a lot of people who are like, I don't like this. But anyway, I was practicing Lakshmi. I was practicing mantra. I was like in it. I was doing tantric visualizations and meditations. And then it felt like I was really letting the abundance flow through me. I remember I had this imagining this meditation, and this was actually before I got into the Mahavidyas, like the goddesses of yoga, like Shiva's wives were, and this was before I'd heard of funnels too, but I actually imagined myself as a funnel. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna like collect and then I'm gonna like send it out, like I'm gonna open up and then I'm gonna send it out. And I still do that as an agency owner. It's still that same sort of exercise. Yeah, money. It's I think we need to resolve our BS around money, and we should totally link Rye's book, is it like Shadow Money or something? Cause that is, it's really cool. It really does. And we'll speak more to him about it, but it really does speak of money as an entity that's neither good nor bad, but as like an actual, I don't know if he says entity, but he definitely says like an awareness, right?
Yeah, definitely. And like, I feel like I was praying for years to resolve the ick that I was feeling around money, like this sort of will they, won't they victim consciousness that I couldn't unpack. And it's been really amazing. Like in the last 6 months, especially, I feel like I'm like finally got the resources, right? And one of them is Rye and Amanda Francis. And then just like a willingness to accept like abundance into my life as like, it, all these reframes and working with Kara. And so I just, yeah, like just wishing that for anybody here who's sort of like in the ick with it. Let's like empower ourselves, make peace with abundance and change the world, because that's the means right now, like abundance, money, resources, whatever you want to call it. Like, if you have a vision and you want to do something, there are ways to do it. Like you don't actually have to always think about money in order to create. It can follow the impetuses, right? There's so much with it, but just sending the blessings out. And I'm so struck by the fact that both of us, it's like we asked, and we've said this a couple of times on the pod, but I'm going to underline it. Like we asked to be of service for like a concerted period of time. And then really feels like God was like, here you go, like marketing. But then it's also like the dimensions it's taken on continue to be like so beautiful. And like really in a bhakti is a lot of like of my practice, like devotion, just like being so like embodying kind of more of the feminine with God and being so thankful and trying to keep the mind on God or on mantra a lot during the day. And I just like feel like following that path really of spirit first or God first is what creates this ripple of beauty and people coming in and co-creation. And I wanted to share, you know, it's so funny. And Dawn and I were having a spiritual combo that kind of inspired parts of this episode that Yogananda, there's several times in his story, and it's an autobiography of a yogi where he kept trying to like go and go live in the hills and the Himalayas and the caves and meditate and be that yogi. And his path was to bring this to the West. And it was through action and it was through activity. And he even said, there's another affirmation, the psychological success affirmation, and it's, lest in sloth I lose thee, I will find thee in activity. And he gave these lectures. He came to the West and he loved that spirit of like getter done that we have. And he loved working with like Americans and Westerners to do that, like in the spirit of for God and for self-realization and to make strides. And a lot of people didn't leave their jobs. A lot of the time they were householders. And Ramana Maharshi, who's another saint that whose teachings I really resonate with, said, you might be working and just practicing a form of jnana, like wisdom yoga all the time. So wherever you are, that's where your practices and your work is. But Yogananda was like, we need to be actively calm and calmly active and meditate at night and wake up and do your work as a meditation all day long. And so, yeah, just plant that seed there. Cause I think a lot of the time we think, oh, I have to be in this period of like, I shouldn't be in the world so much in order to do this path. And as we've been seeing with some of our guests too, it's like, no, the where you are, where you're being asked to be in the world becomes the practice.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so many. We were like, let's start with the what's your spiritual practice question. And then everyone's like, my whole life. And I'm like, yeah, me too, man. And so I think that makes sense. Right. And we actually, the only real thing we had planned for this episode was to start with the tune in that Elisa did. And I think I think it's so interesting because actually money wasn't even much of what we were talking about when we were talking about this stuff. And then we were like, let's make it a podcast episode. So I feel like what that means is like what has come through is for you, not like, I mean, for us, Elisa and I as well, but really is for you, the listener who is listening right now, which is like, and it's always the invitation with our podcast, but like, can you resolve victim consciousness around money? And can you allow yourself to really like embody the beautiful abundance of this world? Because there is enough for everyone, even with the population boom. You know, if we just had less greed, so I'm not saying greed is good, but if we had less greed and like better ways to deal with food than throwing it out when it's like not sold at a premium, this earth, it's here for all of us humans and the other beings, of which everything is a being. Gaia herself, it is a being, and there is enough for all of us. And when we open to that, then we receive it and we are able to give it. And I actually think it's one of the control mechanisms of, you know, whatever you want to call it, the patriarchy or toxic capitalism, or maybe you don't like any of those words and you're like the globalists, or you're like, you know, the families that have been in charge since thousands of years ago, whatever. One of the control mechanisms is the vilification of currency and the vilification of exchange. And I do think it's possible to like price yourself appropriately to the work that you do, you know, and also give so much value and then give so much back. So I wonder, Elisa, is there anything like we want to impart last thing rather than starting another episode? Because maybe we should just do another episode. But is there anything that you want to impart before we leave the listeners with some thoughts?
Yes, there's two. One is I wanted to share the healing prayer. So maybe we'll close out the episode with the healing prayer so that you can have listened to this and then like filter, you know, receive an energetic transmission, Yogananda's grace, the grace of the guru, to just receive a little bit of something that might not be the mind, you know, of the mind. Not that this podcast is all of the mind, please. But so there's that. And the other thing I wanted to say is funny because I invited Saint Germain as one of the saints sometimes at the end of that prayer. So I do like to Yogananda, saints and sages of all true faith. And then often I invite Ramana Maharshi, who I mentioned, Anandamoyi Ma, who's a saint that I love, that I love her. And like, I don't know, anyway, that sounded ego, whatever. It's all good. Saint Germain and Kuan Yin and Saint Germain, that project, if you feel called or if you have a connection to Saint Germain, really is about like us coming forward and claiming our birthright. And what you just said, Dawn, made me think too, you know, there are powers that shouldn't be that benefit from yogis, from light workers, from people who love God, not wanting to have money or being in that will they, won't they dance with money. And I actually think we're in an important time where it's a bit easier to clear some of this stuff. Like I mentioned, I was praying for a few years for that clearing, and only now is it happening. And I actually think like where we are, to get a little bit woo about it, like evolutionarily, there's more space for us to do this healing right now. And I think that Saint Germain is willing to work with us. And we did this whole Holistic Business Society day one day where we just tapped into Saint Germain and got messages and things. So that's the last thing I want to say before we do a healing prayer. And thank you all so much. I'm going to try to not blow out the mic because this ends with three ohms. You don't need to ohm unless you really feel it, but you can just receive the ohm. And this was given by Yogananda, and there's an amazing photograph of him actually giving healing prayer, and you can get it like direct from the source too. Divine Mother, thou art omnipresent, thou art in all thy children, thou art in all our listeners. Manifest thy healing presence in their bodies, minds, and souls. Oh. Hey, go with joy.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur Podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.